You're listening to Her Side Hustle, the podcast whose mission is to educate and empower the females out there who are hustling to turn their dreams into a reality. I'm your host, Rachel Burke, a 20-something-year-old on a journey to start a movement. I believe females are absolutely capable of creating wildly profitable and purpose-driven businesses. Join me each Tuesday as we sit down with successful female hustlers and hear all about their journey to becoming a female founder. All you need is a little bit of hustle and a whole lot of heart. Let's hear about her side hustle. Hey, Amanda, how are you?
I am good. How are you, Rachel?
I'm doing well. It's been a busy morning, but I'm doing well. And it's crazy. I was just thinking about it. We're already in the third, like we're one third of the way into 2021 already, which is just madness. Like, how has this year been treating you?
It's wild. It's been really great. Like, it is kind of wild to think, wow, March is almost over. Like, my brain is already in April and May and like looking at Q2. So yeah, it's definitely wild.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a crazy year, but it's been a good year. I'm honestly so excited to get into this conversation with you today.
Yay.
You're definitely, you're somebody that I really look up to. So I, just to give you some background, I'm 2 months into this podcast, to this day, actually.
Congrats.
Thank you. And you're definitely, you know, further along on your journey, but I think that we have definitely like similar missions and goals. So I'm just really excited to learn from you, hear about your experiences. And I know that all of our listeners, you know, they'll be able to relate to. So let's go ahead and dive on in.
Yeah.
Okay. So first of all, tell us about who you are. What do you do? What's your background? Let's hear it.
Well, thanks for having me. My name is Amanda Smith. I am the CEO and founder of Dallas Girl Gang. It is a community that I started as a Facebook group in 2017, and it has turned into a global platform for women in career and business. And it is so exciting. My background is in music education. So I have a teaching degree, and I was a teacher for 7 years. That is my background. I stepped away from the classroom in 2020. And I'm running a small but mighty team of a few other women across the country. And I absolutely love what I do.
Awesome. Yeah, the whole like mission behind Her Side Hustle is kind of like women who were working a full-time job and they started a side hustle and then they were able to kind of scale it to like a full-time business. So you're the perfect candidate for this. So you were teaching for quite a while. And then you started Dallas Girl Gang. How did the idea for that come about?
Yeah, I love talking about the story. I grew up in Texas, in North Texas, went to a small school in Arkansas, graduated college in 2014, and got married, moved to my husband's hometown. And then we like moved back to Texas and I did not have a network. Friends don't live here anymore. A lot of our friends from college are literally at that point were spread across the world, still are. And so I just had to kind of start from square one. And I couldn't find a platform or a community that was kind of a landing place for any woman. This is where you go. And so I was just Googling like, you know, events to go to, networking events and Facebook groups. And it was all very industry specific or just for moms or just for real estate agents or influencers. And so I just created a group myself. I said, well, let's have something that's all inclusive for lots of types of women. And I know in business, we talk about nailing down your ideal customer and what's your niche. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But when it came to a community platform, I really wanted it to be more broad and inclusive. And so started that in 2017 as a Facebook group, really with the intention from day one was gathering women online and in person. And so we were actually pretty well equipped, although we did have challenges once 2020 hit and the pandemic, but that's kind of where it came from.
So you moved to Dallas 2017 and like, was the original goal to more so like make friends or was it kind of like business focused that you wanted to find a community of like-minded female entrepreneurs? Like what was the original target audience?
It was both. You know, as a teacher, I think depending on the school, the type of school that you work at, if anybody's listening and you're a teacher, you know, you might not be like besties with all the other teachers you work with. Now, it's super common now to see a lot of younger teachers and you may like be able to kind of become friends. And I definitely did, but there were a lot of people that like, they weren't the type of people I'd hang out with on the weekends, you know? And so it was with the intention of, look, as adults and as women, it's hard to find adult friends. And it's weird. It's like we're kindergarten again in the sandbox. Hi, will you be my friend? My favorite color is pink, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just one of those things. It's like, this is weird. It's like dating for friends. Mm-hmm. It's exactly what always kept coming up, especially in the early days. And so it was completely selfish, really, because I wanted friends. I'm a very extroverted person. I love being connected to other people. I love being in another room with tons of other people. The other piece was I was in a direct sales business that I had started in 2015. And so I really was, that was like one of the things I wanted to network for was my direct sales business, which we don't have to get into a direct sale, but we can. And so that's really what my intention was, because I was networking at different things. Like I said, real estate agents, moms, influencers, business owners, people in the beauty industry, graphic designers, like all types of people. And I wanted to be connected to them because I knew like I had this entrepreneurial itch. And then when I started this community, I didn't have some strategic 7-year plan of blah, blah, blah. You know, I just wanted to bring people together. And it, as it evolved, it became a full-fledged business, you know? So those kind of paid off.
So a little bit of background on myself. I grew up in Maryland and I went to a private school, kindergarten through 8th grade. And then for high school, I went across the street to the high school. So like all of the same people pretty much stayed with me since I was in kindergarten, and my friends are still the same friends that I had in, you know, 6th grade. So it was never like that. I don't know, like my friends have just always been there. I've never really had to put myself out there and like meet so many new people. And then in 2019, my husband and I, we moved across the country to San Diego. And it's just crazy how much like my eyes were open to how hard it is to meet people, like especially women. And I don't know what it is, but it's such a challenge. Like I started going to like workout classes to try and meet people there. I even looked online at like online like meetups or groups or things like that that are similar to what you are searching for. I wanted to join like a kickball team. Like I was really looking all over the place, but it's hard. So I totally get what you were feeling when you first moved to Dallas. And if only this group that you'd created had been around. Well, it was around if I had known about it when I, you know, moved to San Diego. But even still today, it'd be... it's just awesome to meet all these people that are very like-minded. So that's really cool.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, and it is like, it is a struggle. It's hard to be that. It's like dating. Like I said, it's hard to like be the person to initiate something. Like I said, you know, I'm the type of person that I could be, granted when we had Starbucks open on the inside of the restaurant. But
yep.
I'm the type of person that I could be in line at Starbucks and, you know, I set my stuff down, I save a table, I go get in line, and then I get my drink. And if I see someone who like, oh, their bag is cute, or like, man, where'd you get those leggings, or love those shoes, I'm going to say something. Or like, I love to just pretend like everybody is a future friend, right? And so with women, I did experience a little bit of like the mean girl thing in middle school, high school, which who didn't? Let's be honest. All of us were probably potentially the mean girl ourselves. I don't know. And that's just not what it should look like in adult relationships. And unfortunately, it does sometimes. And so that's actually like one of the rules in our Facebook group is like, no mean girl shit. I know. Mm-hmm. Sorry if I can. No, I cuss?
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Okay.
You know, like we don't do that shit here. And you can see yourself out.
Yeah. I love that. I remember sitting on the beach actually this past summer when all we could do was go to the beach because of COVID. And I was sitting there, just me and my husband, and a friend of ours invited us, but there were so many girls there, but not a single one of them would talk to me. And I just felt like such an outsider being in a new city, yeah. not knowing anyone. It was the worst feeling, and it made me so self-conscious. And I've never been somebody that has been like really self-conscious when it comes to like friends or putting myself out there, but it's hard. So I love that. I get it. It's hard being especially a female.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely rough.
Yeah. So how
it doesn't have to be.
No, exactly. It doesn't have to be. Now, how are you able to, so you moved to Dallas, you started this group. How are you able to kind of like find and attract new members to join your group?
So I think from the get-go, since it was, you know, it's kind of the whole thing of if you try really hard, it's going to be harder. You're going to like feel like you're forcing it. But if you're just having fun, like everybody's going to come hang out. And so because I started this with zero intention of creating a full-time business and becoming a business coach and blah, 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 it was a natural attraction. And I think it had to do with too, why I founded the group and the community. You know, we're founded on the idea of what's now our trademark. You can sit with us. We always want people, just like you said, you don't want to be at a party that you got invited to or that you're just going to with your husband and then nobody talks to you. That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard. Like, open your mouth and say something. Like, yeah. We both are girls. We both have boobs. Like, let's talk about something, you know? We have something in common. And so I think that message and, you know, the description of our group and like the conversations that were being had, it was honestly a snowball effect of I started the group and I added a few friends that I had just recently met. They added their friends and they added their friend and they, just so on and so on and so on, especially, you know, launching an Instagram account, which I waited an embarrassing amount of time to do, which is kind of wild. And then gathering people together in person too, and people taking pictures and tagging us and things like that. It was this new thing, and there wasn't a group like this, and there wasn't a community like this, especially locally, that people were like, oh, they don't play around. This is not, I have to dress up and look a certain way and have a certain status or a certain job. I can just come and be myself. I'm down, you know? And there was a point where our group hit about 1,000 people a long time ago. And I was like, hold up, where are you guys coming from? And so I started to like dig into, how'd you find us? Blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, my friend added me. Well, I found out about from a coworker. I heard someone talking about it at the grocery store. You know, now we're approving hundreds, if not thousands of people into the group every month. And same thing with like people that are submitting posts. We don't just let it be like a free for all in our group. So we do like approve every single post. We get 1,000 posts submitted to us every week. And it's just been this place. It's been a safe place. Of course, things happen and you cannot control every single person online. And, you know, we've had things get reported to us and whatever, but I think that happens everywhere. But it is the number one reason why people come to us is because it's inclusive and it feels safe.
And now your group includes women from all over, right?
Absolutely.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. At what point did you know, like, I'm actually onto something? Like, at what point did you realize this isn't just kind of like something, a way for me to like meet friends and kind of like, you know, chat with like-minded females and have fun? Like, this mm-hmm. is actually has a business potential.
I think it was around the time I realized there was 1,000 people in the group, because to me that was like, whoa. I mean, and as it should be, 1,000 people is not a small number. A lot of times, like when I'm talking to my clients or just friends or people in our community, and they're like, well, I only have 1,000 followers. I only have 400 followers. If 1,000 people showed up at your door or your business, if you have like a brick and mortar, and said, I'm interested in what you have going on, that would be buck wild, right? And so we just were onto something at that point. And I really too, I was starting to really plan and be strategic about our events instead of it being some informal meetup type thing, which always irks me. I don't know why. It just feels really informal. I wanted to be a level above that, like planned and curated and designed events is where my head was. A photographer, backdrops, interactive elements, brands and sponsors supporting the event, gift bags that are branded with our logo, like the whole nine yards. And once I started providing that value and charging for tickets and it wasn't free anymore, or it wasn't just like to break even on the cost, I realized like this is where we're going.
Yeah. So everything that you're saying, it's definitely like somebody, you have to be an entrepreneur to think that way. Like, I need to take this to the next level. I need to sell tickets, get, you know, backdrops, photographers, all that stuff. Like, you were teaching.
Yeah.
Did you always have like the idea that you wanted to start your own business or be your own boss or be an entrepreneur? Or was it just kind of like, it just like one thing led into another and to another, and then it eventually just kind of developed?
A little bit of both. Like I said, I started in direct sales and, you know, I was a teacher from 2014. And then I started a direct sales business a year after I'd been teaching. And so I always had this like itch to do something else and be creative and connect with people and like be in another room with people and build friendships and like points of commonality. And a sidebar, I grew up in church. And so when the doors were open, we were there. I was surrounded constantly by groups of like-minded people, but I wanted to create something that was for everybody. And so I really wanted to also, I always did know, not on an entrepreneurial perspective, but I wanted to impact thousands of people, not for myself, but to make their lives better. And my biggest thing with, obviously now with Dallas Girl Gang, is so that people don't feel alone in, especially now in 2021 and through 2020, and what they're going through, whether it is mental health, job loss, building a business, all the things that we go through in life. Mm-hmm. So.
I love that. That's awesome. So fast forward 3 years since you started Dallas Girl Gang, your audience, I looked on your website, you have over like 45,000 women across the country, which is in 3 years, that's just madness. That's awesome. Your company has really expanded over time and you actually are mm-hmm. in a bunch of like different avenues now. You have your own podcast, you have the membership, like we talked about, you sell mm-hmm. merch, the Facebook group, all sorts of things that you're, you know, you're in charge of. How do you juggle all this? That's a lot.
I mean, from a perspective, I'll share a little bit about from when I was teaching and now that I'm not. So when things started to really just explode in 2019, I did not do a good job of juggling at all. And I worked a lot. I worked every evening. I worked on the weekends. I always said I didn't work on Sundays, but I definitely did. And I burned myself out, like physically, mentally, emotionally, and creatively, just gone.
Yep.
And it was not great, you know? And so I was chasing, and I think if you're working a full-time job and you're listening right now and you have a business, you feel like you're always playing catch up because you have a job. You have a job and you have to work unconventional hours. The reality is you are where you are and you can't change that immediately. You can create an exit plan for sure to get out of your job if that's what you want to do. You have to make the most of the time that you do have to work on your business. So for me, it was after school, 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. And I had to do the things that were going to move the needle. So scheduling calls with brands, planning the event, sending out invites, planning our marketing, creating graphics, blah, 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 blah. At one point, you're going to get to a point too, if your business is growing and thriving and profitable and you're still working a full-time job, that you're going to need help. You literally cannot do anymore. Also, your brain is going to tap out at which also you're going to realize you need help. I would highly suggest thinking about that and maybe planning for the growth, starting to save money and put aside for a virtual assistant or a local assistant, or maybe it's just starting with someone to do your bookkeeping, your taxes, your QuickBooks. Maybe it's just starting there. Maybe it's just starting with having someone create your graphics or manage your website. Something super small that can be taken off your plate that doesn't take up a lot of your brain calories, and that you, so that you can focus on what matters. So I would, even while I was working full time as a teacher, I hired a virtual assistant, and especially with hosting events, we did 40 in-person events in 2019. Wow. That is insane. That is a whole hell of a lot. I highly don't recommend unless you have a huge team or just an efficient team. So at that point too, I was like planning the event, doing the marketing, doing the PR, getting influencers to help promote, booking the place. I would do the event setup, do all the decor, blah, 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 blah. Maybe have a couple vendors come in and set some stuff up, but that costs money too. Or we're doing it in a partnership fashion. And then I would host the event, be the host, maybe moderate a conversation or a panel. Then everybody would peace out. I'd be by myself. I'd tear down, pack it all up, lug it into my car, drive all the way home, have to go to work and get up at 5:30 or 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And so I mean, early days, I hired interns from like local colleges or Indeed.com, or now there's an app called Hired Up, which didn't exist back then, but if it had, I would have used it, which we're actually about to do a partnership with them. And just find help where you can. On the side of now that I'm full-time in my business, strategically finding people and making sure, A, are you profitable enough to outsource this? B, is it really what you need? So for example, if you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed and I really want to start doing Pinterest marketing. And you're like, oh, I need to just outsource Pinterest so that I can do everything else. Is that really the best use of your money? Is that the best use of $700 a month to when you don't even have someone to help you with your scheduling, admin stuff, social media, finances, bookkeeping, legal things? Let's start there. Let's start with the foundations of like what's going to keep you in business. And then you can kind of build on the more fun things that are going to expand you, things like that. But I have several people that work for me remotely. And probably now that the world is starting to open back up, and Texas is actually really probably one of the most open states right now, we are going to get back in person and do safe and socially distance events, especially outdoors. The weather's getting nice. And so I'm going to need to go back and dig into my local event assistant contacts. You know, I have 4 people on my team right now. It's probably going to start looking like 8 or 9 here in the coming months as we roll into more of an event season.
Mm-hmm. I so can relate to what you're saying about outsourcing. So I started this podcast 2 months ago. I have a full-time job. My background right now actually on Zoom is my, I forgot to take that background off. But so I have my full-time job. I do this podcast, and then I also side business. I'm a bookkeeper. I went to school for accounting. So that's also another thing that I do. But it's tough to juggle everything. Like posting on Her Side Hustle podcast Instagram, and then Bookkeeping by Brooke Instagram, and then work 8 hours, 9 hours a day from our full-time job and follow up via email. Just like so much that goes into one business, not like let alone 3. It's tough. So I definitely support outsourcing, but I think that's something a lot of women, or not even women, any business owners, it's scary to like sticker shock. It's, you know, do I want to spend $1,000 a month on, I don't know, a virtual assistant or whatever? It's tough. Like at what point do you decide when to outsource? Is it when you're profiting and you know you can afford it? I guess it maybe depends on each person.
It does. One thing too, before I kind of answer, is yes, sticker shock. But there is this whole online business owner world now that wasn't as prevalent 4 or 5 years ago, that people are getting really specialized and they can charge more for it. Just plain and simple. Like I mentioned, a Pinterest manager or strategist, absolutely an incredible thing you could outsource. But if you've only been running your business for a couple of years and you are only making $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000 a month, that's probably not the best use of your money. What I would say is maybe as your Instagram, Facebook, email list, now Clubhouse, whatever those foundational things, or maybe you really want to devote more time to Pinterest. Okay, cool. Look at your numbers. How much are you going to pay yourself? Are you paying yourself right now? And break down all of your absolute necessary costs to run the business. What do you have left over? You have to save, and then save for taxes. If that's like $100, you can't afford a Pinterest strategist. That doesn't make sense. But what I'll say is as far as knowing when to hire, it's like this, you know, when you learned how to drive, they called it like when the light's turning yellow, but you're like, I'm close enough. I can go. I'm not going to run it.
Yep.
It's like the point of no return. You can't slow down because you'll get in a wreck and you can't. Yeah. You got to go. You got to really accelerate and push through. Kind of like in running your business. Business is great. You've got clients, you're making $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 a month, whatever that looks like for you. And then your client load gets so heavy and you're so at max capacity, your brain literally can't parse things out anymore. And so what's going to happen is things are going to start falling through the cracks, like a missed call. Things happen, you miss an email. You forgot to do this one thing for our client, and then that could cause people to cancel with you, get out of their contract, or not renew their contract with you. And then that would cause a decrease in your revenue. So it's at this point up here, and people that are listening, I'm showing with my hands because I talk with my hands, but think of just an upward slope on a graph. And then another one going the opposite direction, like an X, the point of crossing in the middle is where you need to hire, because your productivity and your time is way at the tippy top when you are new in your business. And if you don't hire, it's going to go down, down, down. If your business is doing great and it's growing, your revenue is going to increase and everything, but it's going to dip down if you don't get some help.
Yep.
You need to free up those things. And so what I always recommend to people is write down literally everything that you do in your business, down to write Instagram captions every single Monday for blah, blah, blah. Schedule that post every single Monday for blah, blah, blah. And then see what all kind of fits into its own categories. So social media, email marketing, PR, sales, client process, whatever. And then I would maybe literally go through with a highlighter and say, and highlight all the stuff that you love to do and the stuff that quite literally nobody but you can do, like your client calls or the service you're providing for that person or making the products that you sell, whatever it might be. And then look at what's left, all the stuff that you don't like to do. So maybe it's bookkeeping. Maybe it's writing copy, maybe it's editing your website, whatever. All that stuff is stuff you can outsource. Now, you're probably not gonna be able to do it right away, but if you have $200 to spend, that, I mean, you could find a virtual assistant to help you do graphics or something super simple. And that's one thing you don't have to do anymore. Mm-hmm. And you can just build from there.
Yeah.
I hope that makes That's a long explanation, but
no, it does. Like, and thinking about it, like, let's say something that is always such a time consuming task for me is posting on Instagram, like coming up with captions that are relevant and informative. So let's say I spent like an hour doing that every single day, 7 days a week, times like for the whole month. That's 28 hours that you are wasting on Instagram that you could be doing building your business, you know, like doing things within your business that you actually enjoy. So it's kind of like, how much does 28 hours of your time cost versus a virtual assistant who could, you know, charge you $200 a month? It's sticker shock's a thing, but you got to really think about the big picture, I think. Same with bookkeeping.
For sure.
And you should hire a bookkeeper because you need to know how much money you have, which a lot of people don't have. So
I was just talking to this about this with a client yesterday, and she has an accountant. And I said, your accountant sends you a report every month. You got to look at it.
You have to look at it. Yeah.
It's not nobody, unless you just are like, I don't know, Kim Kardashian or something. Nobody loves looking at their bank account. Nobody loves opening the Chase app on their phone and being like, let's check, you know, what's gone today. You know, no one loves to do that. But you have to, or you're gonna be in trouble.
Totally agree. Yeah, that's funny. Okay. And it happens more often than you think, which is, you know, it might seem for some people like, what? They don't even look. But a lot of people, I mean, like finances in particular are not their strong suit. So it's quite common. So let's talk about another kind of a different topic. So we talked about how you've really been able to diversify your income, grow your business into many different avenues. This is like some people who execute this perfectly, such as yourself, it helps your business grow. However, some people it can be distracting. Like, so for me, I have a podcast, I have, you know, bookkeeping, I've got my full-time job. If I added on a course right now too, and another, I don't know, avenue, it could cause my businesses to crumble because I'm distracted. Like, how do you remain focused and using these additional streams of income to grow your brand rather than just lead to distractions and failure?
Well, first of all, I don't do this perfectly.
Okay.
I'm serious. I'm not going to lie. I don't do it perfectly. I'm a big believer in, if it feels like you are forcing it, you need to check out why that is.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel super just like yuck and in distress or stressed out by it or overwhelmed, why are you doing it? So what I mean is, like you just said, what if you just started creating a course right now? And here's the question, is it just to make money?
Yeah.
Like, are you just trying to make money because you see so-and-so launched a course and made $27,000 in 4 weeks? Mm-hmm. Awesome. Really cool for her. We love it. We love to see it. But what you probably don't know is she's been doing this for 8 years. She has someone else creating her content. She has someone else strategizing the funnels. She probably did paid ads. She's probably been warming up her audience for 10 weeks. She has tons of email marketing going out, and it's all on Pinterest. There's so much more that you don't see behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So multiple streams of income takes time. I think everybody thinks about millionaires have 7 streams of income. Super cool. Let's not get hung up on that.
Yeah.
I also know millionaires who have 3 streams of income or 1, you know, it just depends on who you are and what you do and how you do it and the type of people that you serve. Best way to know if you should add another piece to the puzzle is anybody asking for it?
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting messages, emails, DMs, hearing it in conversations, or maybe you're always finding yourself as the person who's commenting on it in Facebook groups or whatever? Do they need it? Something that I literally just started working on today. It's not going to be a paid product. It's just going to be something free I give to my audience. But people ask me a lot how to pitch yourself. How do you pitch yourself for a podcast? Or how do you pitch yourself for a brand partnership? Or how do you pitch yourself for a collaboration or a Clubhouse thing or whatever? I have typed out so many times to the point where I'm like, you know what? Let me just make a template for you guys and give it to you.
Yep.
So I'm giving it to my clients first and going to workshop with them specific things and pitches. But then I'm going to create like a freebie opt-in, just general set of templates for everybody else, because it's something I've gotten asked so many times. Could that turn into a digital product? Sure. I don't know. But that's just like a really good way to tell if it's worth it.
Yeah. And I think that it needs to be natural and evolve organically. And you shouldn't do it just because you see other females in your space doing it on Instagram.
Well, for
like,
sure.
Be your own person. Like if it's for something sure. that works for your business, great, do it. But don't just do it because you see Sarah down the street doing it. Right. Okay, cool. So another question that I have, I want to talk to you about like being a leader. You mm-hmm. are a leader of, you know, girl boss, Dallas Girl Gang.
Yeah, I'm Sophia Amoruso.
Yeah. And, you know, leadership is something that is important. We all, I don't know, are somehow a leader in one aspect of our lives, but it doesn't come easy or natural to a lot of people. How did, like, has leadership always been something that you've just been a natural at? Did you have to really like hone in on your leadership skills? Like, how do you lead your employees and your business?
That's a really good question. I mean, it's like, just like a lot of things, I think it's a learned skill. But I would say I do have a natural part of my personality. I'm the oldest of three kids. I was always in like fine arts and like competed for things and different like auditions and choirs and things like that in that world. And then as a teacher, you have to be a leader. You're in charge of little children's lives for 8 hours of the day.
Yep.
And like the more responsibility that you have and things like that. And I think we need to quit looking at, this is just my personal belief, but stop looking at other people, maybe even in your space or your industry or not, and saying, wow, they're such a leader. I want to be a leader like them. That's great too, but how can you lead where you are right now? I think we often like forget about who's in front of us. Again, kind of going back to the Instagram follower thing, because I just hear about this a lot of like, well, I only have 700 followers. I'm not a leader. Mm-hmm. Well, not with that attitude, yeah. You know?
You never will be. Just kidding.
Never will be, you know? Just kind of putting my Leslie Knope from Parks and Rec hat on, you know? Like, yeah. No, well, of course not. I know so many people that do this so well too, of some of them have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people in their audience. Some of them have 1,200, but it's, they have a mission and a purpose of why they do what they do. So they're just going to serve who's in front of them. And that's kind of plain and simple what being a leader is. My friend Grace Blacksea is the founder of the Quench Collective, and she's an amazing community leader. We do very similar things, but very different personalities, very different businesses. And she always talks about leading by example. And if we're talking about, I'm a big proponent of like, you don't have to kill yourself to build a successful business. You don't have to sacrifice. I was talking to a friend on Instagram Live this morning, and we were like, you don't have to sell your soul mm-hmm. to social media just to make a buck. And we say it because we have in the past and it's not great. And so serve who's in front of you and be a good steward of like what you do have and what you are doing, and do it well and do it to the best of your ability. And again, I don't do this perfectly. I probably never have, but that's what I would say.
Awesome. No, I agree. I think so many people focus on, like, they need to focus on their clients, their followers that they actually have, rather than like the hundreds of followers new, that new, they new. Don't. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep. Okay. And then kind of on the similar to being like a leader, have you, like, how do you deal with fear? Like, have you had fear along the way? Have you ran into tons of obstacles or rejection, you know, or has it just come, you're just fearless and it's a walk in the park for you?
Oh, not at all. I'm someone who is naturally predisposed to like be anxious. I actually, in college, I dealt a lot with like depression and anxiety, which I don't, a lot of people do. I don't know a lot of people that don't, which is great. It's fine. And so, yeah, of course, like we, especially as entrepreneurs, we're, oh my gosh, I got new clients. Oh my gosh, I haven't had a sales call in 7 days, you know, or we go on this roller coaster of, because we work for ourselves and because it's completely up to us. And so absolutely, especially if I'm not in a great mindset place and I am thinking scarcity and like, well, I don't know where this is going to come from, I'm going to be more prone to be, to like push and try to force it when you have to just trust the process. You have to have a good process in the first place. But no, absolutely. I mean, there's definitely so much fear that goes into running a business, but also it's just almost like recognizing it's there and being like, okay, you can stay in your little corner. Like we don't come out to play, yeah. And like, it's real, but it's also, you don't have to live in it at all.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It's, everybody's going to have fear. I mean, it's impossible to run a business and not have fear, but it's kind of like how you handle that fear and move past it versus dwelling in it. Okay. So great. Two last questions for you. I know we're running short on time. First question, do you have any advice or tips for females out there who want to start a business of their own?
I would say kind of what I said earlier, is it something people are asking for? I think it's great if you see someone making t-shirts and you're like, that looks so cool. And then you try to make t-shirts and it just doesn't work out. Did people ask you to make t-shirts in the first place? Maybe they've been asking you to paint them paintings, you know, all along and you didn't realize it. And that's what you, you know, pay attention to the patterns of what's going on around you. And also just plain and simple, what skills do you have that you could offer to other people? If you're thinking like in a service-based realm. So like for you, you went to school for accounting and finance and you do bookkeeping for people. That's a very natural thing. Mm-hmm. You know, if you went to school for design or art, graphic design could be a very natural thing you offer for people. It doesn't mean you have to do it forever, but it could be a starting point.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Last question. How can our listeners join the Dallas Girl Gang, listen to the podcast, buy merch, all of it? How can they follow along on this journey of yours?
Yeah, you can basically just Google Dallas Girl Gang and you'll probably see bajillions of results. Our Facebook group, our Facebook page, Instagram, our website. The Girl Gang podcast is our show, comes out every Thursday. We recently had Allie Webb of The Dry Bar on. Cool. She is the founder of The Dry Bar, which was so amazing.
That's awesome.
And yeah, and then my personal brand is at Amanda's in Dallas. Everywhere you can find like all of our stuff on the website, the merch. And we have a virtual summit coming up for it's a self-care focused summit for busy women in career or in business, April 2nd, and that is the Refresh and Flow Summit. And so you can see all of that in my personal brand bio, our website, Dallas Girl Gang, all those things.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you. Like I said at the beginning, I was so excited to have you on the show today. You've definitely dropped some really awesome knowledge bombs on all of us. It's great, you know, learning about you, your business, how you started. But yeah, seriously, thank you for your time. I love it. I love what you're doing, your mission, everything. And I'm just happy to have had the opportunity to chat with you today.
Thank you so much, Rachel. It was so great. Thanks so much.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining today. I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review so other lady hustlers can find the show. Until next time, keep going.